Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. In the wilderness, John proclaimed a baptism of repentance. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It seemed to work okay last week, so I'm going to try standing here again this week. This morning I want to explore with you the significance of baptism for Jesus and its significance for us. It's been a bit of a journey. We've marveled with the shepherds, we've traveled with the Magi, and now we stand on the banks of the River Jordan with John the Baptist. In this Epiphany season, the weeks after Christmas and before Candlemas, we recall how Jesus, the Son of Mary, has been revealed to the world as its Saviour, sent by God. What we call the Christmas story features only in two of our four Gospels. Luke alone gives us the shepherds, and only Matthew gives us the wise men. The other two Gospels ignore the birth narrative altogether. However, all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, have the story, or a version of it, that I've read just now. It's in all four Gospels. If it's in all four Gospels, it must be important. Of course, the way they tell it is slightly different. That isn't surprising. Try Val and I telling stories about things that have happened to us. I always get it right, she always gets it wrong. But what we have in all four Gospels is an account of how Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist, our patron saint. And this morning, our liturgy will link the baptism of Jesus with our own baptism. Now, your baptism may well have been as a tiny baby, and you may have no memory of it. I certainly can't remember mine. It was in August 1950. I know it happened. I have a certificate. It's got a very white Jesus with very white children around him, and bunny rabbits, and a toy horse. But it must have happened. It's been signed by real people. As Father Wayne said in the introduction to this morning's service, if you were baptized as an adult, I guess that baptism will be much more significant for you because you made a conscious decision to set out on that lifelong journey with God in the company of his people, to be, as the old prayer book has it, Christ's faithful soldier and servant to the end of your life. In order to make the connection with John 2,000 years ago and ourselves as baptized people in 2025, let me take you back to the gospel accounts. What was John doing? Had he invented some new kind of ritual, some new kind of practice? Was this totally unknown before to Judaism? Something completely outside that tradition? These are important questions, and the answer to those questions will help us to understand what's going on. We need to bear in mind the Jewish context of the Gospels. We often forget it. When I was teaching, I reminded my 8-year pupils for about the first 6 or 7 weeks of any academic year, roses are red, violets are bluish. Everyone knows that Jesus was Jewish. It's important to remember that because we tend to forget it. Within Judaism, at the time of John, baptism was already an ancient and honourable thing to do. John was tapping into something that people already knew. Every synagogue, every place of worship had a baptismal pool. It was called a mikvah. It was built into their place of assembly. It was deep enough for you to be able to submerge yourself with ease, to go completely under the water. It was used for marking life-changing transitions, for marking important events. And Orthodox Jews would have wanted to see it as a tradition going back to Moses and Aaron. Even today in synagogues around the world, the plunging of oneself under the water to mark a new start, a new beginning, a change of direction, it's still seen as an important part of Jewish spirituality. What John the Baptist does is he takes the indoor ritual and brings it outside for the whole world to see. He takes it from the private world of the Jewish synagogue worship and brings it into the great outdoors for anyone to access. He adds a further twist. The main theme of John's preaching is to get people to change their lifestyle because the Messiah is coming. That change of direction in people's lives, that sorrow for the past, an attempt to make a better future, that turning away from self and towards God, that turning away from self and towards God would properly be marked by mikvah, that's the Jewish word, the Hebrew word, or baptism, that's the Greek word. It means the same, it's just a different language. Baptism, mikvah, is the same thing. John's was a baptism, a mikvah for repentance and forgiveness. That change of direction, as the old life was washed away in the waters of the river, and a new life begins as you come up out of the water. For most people flocking to see John, to see what he was up to, they needed to change their behavior. That's the new direction they were taking. The same life, but a different lifestyle. But for Jesus, this was a proper new direction, a new dedication that he was prepared to make in public. When Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan, this was the moment of his going public. This was the moment when his ministry was about to start. He comes out of the domestic background in Nazareth, walks 60 miles onto the world stage on the banks of the River Jordan down towards Jerusalem. He comes to commit himself to doing his Father's will. Any good Jewish man would mark this turning point in his life with mikvah, with baptism, a death to the old way of life and a rising out of the waters to start the new. And Jesus doesn't make this a private matter between him and God, but he walks out onto the world stage and lets people know that he has come to reach out with the good news of the love of God for all people. And as Jesus takes this momentous step of commitment, the rightness of his decision is affirmed by a voice from heaven, and he's equipped for the task ahead. The Holy Spirit descends upon him bodily, in bodily form like a dove, and a voice comes from heaven, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." The kids in my classes used to love this. You have to remember, thank you for nodding. This is a few years ago, but they would leave the classes going, say, "Well pleased." And what of us? Well, we stand on the edge of 2025. Some of us will be presented with challenges. Some of us will be faced with big decisions. Some of us will have radical changes in our status. In some Jewish communities, even when you become a grandparent, you do this mikveh baptism thing to mark the fact that you've gone from being just a parent to being a grandparent. And I guess all of us will be faced with changes, decisions, challenges, vast and different. In the liturgy which follows, Father Wayne is not going to lead us, I am so glad to be able to use this sentence, he is not going to lead us down to the River Trent so that we can plunge in. I'm assuming that's not what you're up to. You are safe from the River Trent. We are not reenacting the banks of the Jordan. But we ought to mark January the 12th, 2025, as a day when we decide to follow Christ more closely, to be better Christians. In the liturgy which follows, we will confess our failure to live up to our baptism. We will ask for the Holy Spirit to reinforce our determination to live lives worthy of our baptism, whenever it was. And Father Wayne will sprinkle us with the water of baptism to assure us that as we go forward, we are washed clean from the past and will be going into 2025 with God at our side. What do we learn from the story of Jesus coming to be baptized at the River Jordan by John, and what is its significance for us? It is that just as God affirmed and equipped Jesus for his future, so in 2025, our Heavenly Father will affirm us as his children, children whom he loves, and that he will equip us with his Spirit to go forward into this new year with him. Amen.